שלום לכם, תודה שאתם איתנו.
Hello, thank you for being with us here in the New Life Educational Series with Dr. Michael Lyman. Hello, Dr. Lyman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazuz. Hello. And today we want to go on a journey with you. Which journey? A journey after happiness. It turns out we're not the first, and we want to take this journey through a very special story, the story of Kohelet. We're welcoming you to join us on this fascinating, to learn these fascinating, interesting things about our lives and to see how we can build our lives from new, to format our lives, to upgrade our lives, to feel that we're all one. The story of Kohelet, be with us. Nitza, take us into the journey. So first of all, we're always constantly searching for happiness. We're searching what can cause us joy, love, excitement, serenity. We're trying so many things, and we really believe that if we just get one more thing, for sure we'll touch happiness. If we get some position, some interesting job, we'll maybe get a new car or a fancy house. There's so many things we're busy with throughout life, but the ones that will give us a feeling of happiness. And when it doesn't show up in our lives, it looks like this is exactly what we're missing, and this will make us for sure happy. And then what happens after we attain those things, then we enjoy it, but in a very momentary way, and then it passes. And we're always, always, always in this endless chase after happiness until a person dies. And the truth is that when I looked at the book of Kohelet and I read it, I got really excited. It really excited me because actually Kohelet, it's King Solomon, the smartest of all. He's living at a time that was a very thriving period. They weren't short of anything. There was abundance, richness. They had everything. And we see that each time he touches a certain aspect of life, he looks at it, he checks it. For example, money and assets. He talks about how much it can make a person happy, and at the same time, he suddenly brings the opposite side. He shows how that precisely that thing that can bring you happiness can bring you pain and suffering and evil. And he goes from subject to subject, precisely like we, like happens in our life. We are going through it ourselves. And at the end, we discover that it's all rubbish. Like Kohelet says, somehow you achieve something, it's pleasant, and then you continue onward. Now, the last few decades, the subject of searching for happiness in humanity, also in Israel and in the whole world, it's become very powerful. It's very trendy, you can say. There's tons of books and courses and workshops about the subject of searching for happiness. One of the greatest authors that translated his books to 20 languages and they're distributed in millions, it's Paulo Coelho. It's known that he's searching for truth. His famous book, The Alchemist, you see him go out and check, and after the whole story, he discovers that his happiness is right under his nose, under his tree at his home. He's just not aware of it. So this whole process is a very powerful process that each of us today is going through. I can say myself, I did it for years, I searched this thing called happiness or truth. I went here, I went there, I went everywhere. You reach the peak, and then you look and you see nothing. What's happening here? So after all these journeys and all these adventures that we come back with, today we want to precisely take that same book of Kohelet that's in the Jewish bookshelf for many, many years. This search, it turns out, didn't start today, but it started many years back. So escort us on this journey. So first of all, why precisely does this story take place in Kohelet to the King Solomon? It's a period when there's everything. What's the message that we want to pass on through this story? I look at this book in a completely different manner. Really? Yes. What's Hevel Havalim? What is it? It's bestowal. And the good way you relate that comes out of a person. Hevel is called the way I treat others, my fellow man. The returning light that I return to the world, the good attitude, that only in that, that depends, that is what my success in the world, my happiness in this world is dependent on. And King Solomon teaches us how we can, through these havalim that we're creating and how we relate to one another, we reach happiness. You say, when I reflect to my environment, then the environment reflects back on me? Yes, it all depends on my attitude. The world is the world. I don't know what the world is, but it depends on how I relate. If how I relate, if I take everything, then the world is dark, it appears to me, and I'm always in these searches, and I don't find, I don't see where to take from, and then I'm left empty. The opposite, if I do it in havalim, havalim means what comes out of the mouth, what comes out of me, then through that I reach happiness. You're taking us to the end of the story, but it starts with that. But the way we explain it, it's as if everything is has no point, because I want us to open our story with a few verses that Qohelet says, and he writes, I made myself great works, I built myself houses, and I planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted in them all sorts of fruit trees. I made myself pools of water to water from them, a forest sprouting with trees. I acquired male and female slaves, and I had household members, and I had possession of cattle and flocks, more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. I accumulated for myself also silver and gold, and the treasures of the kings and the provinces. I acquired for myself various types of music, instruments, the delight, the songs of men, wagons and coaches. So I became great and I increased more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. We want to check these states that he was in. He's checking, verifying each thing to the end. He's not compromising in any way. And in each place, he discovers something. The first aspect we want to look at is our assets. When you don't have anything, you have a desire, a yearning, I want this. And if we look at our lives, each of us, doesn't matter how much we succeeded, more or less, when you don't have something and you want it, you think, wow, that will make me feel good. You work, you make an effort, you invest, you get closer, the excitement rises, and you achieve the thing. And then time goes by, and you look back, and you see it's expired. It's just going between your fingers. What is this system that King Solomon discovered in his search in the aspect of acquiring something material? Why did he discover that no matter what you acquire, the acquiring of something will not fill me with happiness? Why? Because in this manner, we're just expanding our will to receive, our vessels of reception. The more that I want to fill myself and buy it with this filling, I am increasing my desire times two. So that's why it says, a person dies and his half will come. What does it mean a person dies? I am killing my will to receive. I wanted something and I received this something. And at the same time that I received this filling and I filled myself, my desire died. It means no person died. Which desire? Let's say I wanted to acquire a house. I acquired it. A week or two goes by, we understand there's nothing new. A month or two, I'm enjoying myself, but this enjoyment is going down and leaving me. And then again, I'm left. What's the pleasure? Because we are filling ourselves, not from ourselves, but the fact that each time the filling is coming and renewing, the entry of the pleasure into the desire. I really want to drink. I'm dying. I'm thirsty. I really want to drink. And then I take my first sip. And my first sip, my third sip, less. I have less pleasure. In other words, the pleasure itself is measured in coming into contact with what I want, with my desire. The filling that comes into the desire, oh, this contact, this is my whole life. But from the moment, it's something new. And if it's not new, and a little more, again and again, in the morning I get up, I turn on my new car, I brought it from the store yesterday, I'm driving how I feel it. The next day, I did it once already, I drove when it once. In another day, it'll be twice, three times. It's sip after sip, what I'm doing with the water, with the cold water on a tired spirit. It passes. The newness of it passes, and the pleasure disappears. But I wanted it, so I wanted new life, water, car, house. I really wanted, I hear from people that come to me, I wanted to get married, I really wanted, finally we got married, and we have everything, and what, and from day to day I wake up, it's next to the same person, I see him, and it's not new, and we're starting to look for, maybe we'll go on vacation or something, so not to see each other, so we'll see something outside ourselves, and we don't know how to renew, in what way we can renew that feeling that something new is coming into me. But if I have no desire for this new thing, then I'm not enjoying myself. The problem is the deficiency, the desire, that something will be missing to me. The smart ones that want to sell me something, what do they say? You know, you're missing this because through this you'll get this and this and this pleasure. And then it appears to me that truly if I buy what they tell me to buy, then I'll be happy. If they tricked me properly, and I really acquired this deficiency for that same thing, then I buy it and I'm apparently going to enjoy it. And then I discover that it's not such a great pleasure because the deficiency wasn't mine. They just arranged it for me in an artificial manner. And also, when I'm enjoying myself, I very quickly feel that everything's disappearing. There's nothing here. And we, in our lives, we've developed up until, like Nitza said, let's say 50 or 60 last years, where we're truly in a search for happiness. Why? Because before, we didn't need it. We in the old days, we just wanted to live basically in a simple manner. We wanted a house, regular house, a job, some holiday, health, kids, arrange them. Humanity was, until the middle of the previous century, we were just looking how to arrange itself in a necessary manner, basic necessities. But I'll have, and I was happy. I had a home, kids, family, work, my pension, holiday. In the evening, I can sit down with my friends in a bar. I can enjoy myself at the coffee shop today. Look at this culture we have. What are we dealing with now? All kinds of somersaults we do in the air all kinds of entertainment. People in Hollywood just slightly awaken us. It's not working anymore. With the internet, today the whole world, I have the whole world on my screen. And where will I find something new? And the main thing is my desire. What is the real escape today? Drugs. It was very clear, the tourism. Let's go here, let's go there, all kinds of views. It's coming to an end. Why should I go anywhere? What's happening? This industry? You were in that industry, right? It's known. People have stopped traveling. People have stopped running after things. What is there to see in the world? I want to, you went into other aspects, but I want to stay with the assets that we were talking about. When I hear things that, like the way you're talking right now, I don't want to sound rude, but I'll say what I think, because I'm sure other people feel it. I have the feeling that when they explain what you're explaining now, that these are explanations of people that aren't missing anything in life, that they already went through this phase of acquiring things. This is the insight of people that have. Now, I'm not in that place. Last week, I went to a doctor in Herzliya at the medical center. I go in there in Herzliya. I live in Petah Tikva on the fourth floor apartment. I go into Herzliya medical center. We couldn't find the place on the GPS. We got lost there on the streets. Each house is like a palace. Each house is a Mercedes or an Audi for $100,000. We got lost for 20 minutes. We were looking, and we finished with the doctor. I went home after 2 hours, and I go out to Ayalon and again come back. And now you're saying to me, he bought his house, and after a month, he doesn't like it anymore. I'm stuck in my apartment, and even if I have the two Mercedes, then maybe I can connect to what you're saying. He's sitting in the house a year and he's bored, and he's trying to think which yacht he can take to sail around the world. There's something hypocritical of people that have, and they're looking back and saying, forget it, it's not first give me what you have and then let me decide. First give me that and then maybe I'll have that insight, the wisdom of life. And then apparently, when they say it to me, I don't agree with it. I can't accept that that's the truth. Now, he is, well, when am I getting mad? Because he's saying the same thing. I did this, I did that, and look, it's all nothing. How can I? Now, I'm not complaining to you, the people that have. I don't have any problem with you. Be healthy. I'm asking, how can I be wise? And before I do all these roundabouts, I want to learn something from his life. Before I do all these things that might take me 50 years, how can I really feel that it's like this? Not because you're telling me, it's not so bad, you're on the fourth floor, four rooms, it's not so bad, some people only have two rooms. Why do you need a palace in Herzliya Pituach? I don't know what to do with this. How can I really bring this wisdom into my heart? It's like my grandfather telling me stories. I thought, okay, so he went through 90 years, so he's smart, but I'm 15 years old. I want to grab onto the world. How can I take this wisdom? How can I connect to it from a clean place? That's the question. I'll tell you. You're correct. In very few cases, at a few points, humanity is advancing through our egoistic development in a manner that this development is always in quality, not just in quantity. That then I wanted a two-room apartment, and now I need four rooms, and the next day I need a huge villa in a wealthy area. The desire in us is developing also in a qualitative manner. The desire that is developing in me now, I'm stopping to feel in these assets I'm not feeling some goal in life. Humanity is beginning to see that it's not worth it, but I personally, I want it. I want everything that they have there. I really want it. And you still want to convince yourself that it's not worth it for you? No. Are you going to waste your whole life? No, I don't want to convince myself. I feel that in this story of Kohelet and also in your explanation with the renewal and everything, I understood the dynamics. I understood that there's some depth that I can't grasp. I want to succeed in life as much as possible. So when I come to learn where the big happiness is, and they say to me, it's not in the Mercedes and the villa, it's not there. It's not, you're not convincing me. If it's not convincing you, then there's nothing you can do. So what can Kohelet tell me? So what is this story coming to tell me? He didn't write it for himself. He wrote it to teach other people something. You're giving me an example that I have no answer for. I'm telling you honestly. It's like 50 or 70 years ago in the American dream that I want everything. I want everything. I want to learn what everything is. That's the point. It's not the world of today. It's not the world of today. Today in the world, we're already in a crisis where people already know that more than there is today, there won't be, and people are getting thrown out of work, and this is for years already, and they don't know what to do. And it's not like they're going to go acquire some additional apartment for a young couple, but they're getting divorced and they're going back to live with their parents in the same apartment because they don't have work and they don't have any hope to have kids and raise a family with the house and the fancy cars and everything. No, we're in a world, a different world than what you're describing. You're describing the typical person from 50, 70 years ago, that everything was running forward with big eyes, let's do the world. But today this desperation from life is much more powerful than this search for these luxuries. So for a person like you that's still hoping that in this life he'll receive just good, I have nothing to say because he sees in front of himself, I need to work for 10 years, then I'll acquire a house, two cars, I'll get married, kids, then I'm organized in my house and everything. Then I need to wait 10 years until I'll come to you and you'll see that it's all rubbish. Why will I see it like this? You're sure that's what's going to happen. You're saying no matter what you do, you're going to reach that. All of humanity in general will reach that. But I myself, you say I'm going to wait 10 years. You know what? Okay, come here in 10 years and talk. That's what you're saying. You know exactly what's going to happen. You're going to be like Solomon. You'll be like Solomon. You're sure. Therefore, we had to develop thousands of years in our egoistic desire that's always growing and pushing us to all kinds of types of development in society, technology, all kinds of forms of life, until we reach some situation, not just that everyone has everything, but the desire to receive itself has changed. It's suddenly received some type of different form that I don't want. It started 50 years ago as well with the flower children. That people don't like this whole development. They don't want to run after all this stuff. It's like a dog running after its tail. I don't want to run around my whole life and finish my life like this. If our desire that would direct us always to develop more and more and more and die. And if that's how we developed generation after generation, now it's not like that anymore. Suddenly I'm smart. I already have this preparation inside myself. I don't want to run after my tail. I don't want to be living like that. Today it's after a car, then after a house and a yacht, etc. I don't want that. My ego grew to such an extent in a qualitative matter that it's already showing me the end, that it's not worth it for you. Why do people start taking drugs, suicide, divorce? Why are they desperate? The world gives you a chance, but these chances are no longer chances for me. I'm tired for some reason. What am I tired from? My egoistic desire has become, I don't feel in all these assets, I don't feel any future happiness in them that I'll be happy. I'm sitting now on the couch, on the grass next to my house with these two Mercedes and a wife and kids and everything next to my pool with a cup, some good drink inside. And I can't see myself. I even see these things in the movies, but I don't really see these things as attractive enough to invest half my life in. My ego is already, whispering to me saying, that's not worth it. It's not worth it. I've become like indifferent to it and lazy. In other words, it's not attractive enough. My desire has become more qualitative, but toward what? I cannot understand yet. I want to get happiness, but happiness in a manner that, how can we put it? In a manner, in a virtual manner. I want to feel the happiness and not feel it through all kinds of blocks or pieces of steel or a block that's called a villa or steel that's called a Mercedes or some bath that's called a pool. I want to get a feeling. People are attracted to drugs. I want to receive this in a more internal manner. That's the problem. That's the blow of the century. This goes along with searching for truth, the search for happiness. What truth are they talking about? Each time it's something else. Each generation defines for itself, defines the laws for itself, what's lie, what's truth, what's pleasure, lie, suffering. If we go 100 or 200 years back, in those days it was a completely different happiness. If there's work, house, kids, if I can supply everyone with food, a roof over their heads, health, I'm happy. A person didn't want anything beyond that. If I have what to wear and I have, let's say, some other thing to wear, great. Then they invented cupboards. There's a cupboard for clothes. And also the cupboard was small. Then now it's apartments. Each person has their own room with the whole cupboard. It's not enough. Now you need a whole room that's cupboards and more and more. And we've reached the place, so we've reached the end of it. Even if you supply a person with this, he has to work on it. He's concerned with it. Our life is getting him into this rat race. We've reached satiation. Where does he feel pleasure? I live in an area where high-tech people live. It's the middle class, the very well off. I see at 7 o'clock in the morning, he has a kid and a cup of coffee, and he's escaping the house into the car. He puts the coffee, puts the kid, takes the kid to some nursery school, comes back at 8 or 9 o'clock at night in the best case. When does he feel his happiness? When? when he's going out in the evening, sometimes once a week to some place with his friends, or he goes for a week or two a vacation abroad. Where's the real pleasure? He sees other people are doing like that, so he has no choice. He does the same. You can see lots of research that are justifying everything you say, that a person's that the graph of happiness goes up and then it goes back down. And up to a certain amount of money, people are happy, but after a certain line, people aren't necessarily happy. And if a person goes into a new apartment for a year, he's happy, and then it goes down. It's all verified and research. We're built in this manner. So what, there's no happiness in the world? There is. So where is it? Hevel Havalim, through bestowal to others. If we bestow to one another, if we build a life where we will all be connected well, that will build a society where we'll fill one another with happiness, not with material things. I want to receive the feeling of happiness by buying an object. Oh, I bought it, and I'm enjoying it. How much can I look at it? The pleasure always has to be renewed. You say yourself, from the car, you get a month's pleasure, an apartment, a year's pleasure. Yes. How can I build my life in a manner that my desire to be happy will always be renewed, and its filling will always be renewed? That every day I'll get up like a little kid with big eyes. I remember myself, I had a house with a yard, we had a tennis table, we had a dog, nice trees and everything. I used to get up in the morning. From the evening, I would already plan how to jump out of bed with my underwear, without anything, because it's summer, it's nice out, straight into my shoes and run out into the yard. There's friends and everything out there. That's how I want to get up in the morning. Is it possible? Today, unfortunately, no. Where is that happiness that we had in those days? Because from the side of nature, it would be renewed in kids to give them development. My desire was always being renewed. And I always found filling. I always found happiness. Today there's tennis. Tomorrow we're going to a lake to swim. The next day we go to the forest. I'm telling really from my childhood. It was a really great impression. It was a little village and we had everything ahead of us. One thing that was missing was that if we had to go to some place, then we had to go to the bus station that was far away from us. So I used to think when I was little, when I'm a big boy, then I'll organize it that the bus station will be next to our house. Not a plane, not a car, anything. That's what I thought. What do I want to say? That altogether, the desire was always being renewed. And in this way, I was always happy. A person's life and humanity, it's different perspectives, but it's the same. The way we live, I had enough of life. And then a person dies. The lack of renewal. And throughout the years, we're already dragging things on and we have no more pleasure, and then a person dies from lack of pleasure. Well, I don't have anything else to do here. I have nothing else to buy here in this world. And usually that's how the light of life goes out. So how can we remain our entire lives like kids? This is what I need to acquire. And this, if I truly am a good salesman, then this is what I want to sell. To give a feeling to a person that each day he gets up with a new desire and with new filling. That is truly good. I want to quote, there's a very strong sentence. It's one of the sentences that comes, what was, and there's nothing new under the sun. Meaning he's revealing, making a revelation, a very sad revelation, that there's some cycle. It was all in the other generations. And nothing really, there's no profit under the sun. What does that mean, there's no profit under the sun? If you just want to enjoy the world, you'll always reach emptiness. So where can the renewal come from? Only from humans and the connection between them. The connection between them, and there's something wonderful in it, that we're influenced by our environment. The environment can provide me all the time with deficiencies, and the environment can always provide me with filling, and only on the condition that we're influenced from one another, that we help one another. And then it turns out that in the relations between us, we can always be like kids. We can always be in the renewal of the desire, renewal of filling, and renewal of happiness. That's it. This is all that is left, because everything else in the world, to receive pleasure through some things that we buy, acquire, there's no happiness in that. That's over. Also in the general manner and also in the private manner. In the private manner, everyone can still try. In the general manner, the whole world is already in some type of decision, general decision, that happiness is gone. And we say that everything is going down. When you were talking, and also what Oren said before, tried to say before, all of a sudden I said to myself, hang on, do I really need to reach a place where I'm not enjoying anything in order to understand that I need renewal, or I can enjoy both worlds? I can also continue at the moment wanting to continue acquiring things such as assets, and along that I can also acquire some renewal in my relations. One doesn't interrupt with the other. One doesn't interfere. But I don't think that a person can be in both worlds. It's not called a complete desire, not this and not that, to be divided into two. But rather, truly, at the end of the day, we have to teach ourselves and others where the true source of pleasure is, and the renewal of the relations between us. And that will allow us to always reach states of new happiness. And that will always give us the spirit of life that will always push the sails in our life to the good situations. I would like us to go to the next subject that he spoke about. We spoke about assets, and the next item that he's going to check is wisdom and knowledge. After he discovers that happiness can't be found in assets and money, he goes onward, and we're also learning this, that a person's desire isn't just a desire. It's food, sex, family, which are human desires that have to do with our body, and then happiness, money, richness, respect, control, and intelligence. Intelligence is the greatest thing. That allows me to cover all of reality. So that's what he thought also, Kohelet. And he said, from the beginning I thought, I'll find wisdom and knowledge, and this will allow me to reach happiness. And he invests himself in it, and he says, at the end of this journey, most wisdom adds pain. And he says at the end, a person dies just like nothing. Why is acquiring knowledge, why did it bring him happiness? Because wisdom and knowledge is just a means toward what? To happiness. To be happy is our whole life. We don't need to feel where I'm enjoying from. We just need to enjoy life. That's what I want. I can dress it in all kinds of rubbish, all kinds of things and events, but I want to enjoy. I want to fill myself. I want to enjoy, fill myself with life. I don't have anything apart from life. And I want to feel this life in a full, pleasant manner. Yes, what's a living person? He has a spirit that's either putting him down or making him happy. So I want that spirit to be full of life. And for that, as we spoke, it always has to be in renewal. We see it in our lives. Apart from that, if I go on money or respect or control or knowledge or less than that, family, sex, food, doesn't matter what, I want to enjoy. So why aren't you happy from the knowledge you get? If we find pleasure in food, then you're like, God forbid, you're like, if you'd have no pleasure in food, it's like you're a sick person. You're just eating a little bit and you have to get an infusion. If you're not enjoying sex, then you go to a doctor and say, maybe give me something, otherwise I have no taste in life. And really, it's one of the greatest sources. If you have no pleasure from your family, what are you doing? I'm going to get divorced. I don't know what to do. The same thing with money. They run, run, run. You look at others, I want this, it gives you confidence. And now we see from today to tomorrow, everything's going to collapse. No matter how much dollars I have under the tiles or in the bank, how much gold, assets, nothing will be worth anything. But wisdom isn't material. Now we're reaching control. Also, we see from today to tomorrow, everyone's disregarding everyone. It's not like once upon a time there was a king and there's nothing. Nobody respects you. You can be the president and they look at you like you're not enjoying yourself. You're discovering in the end that you're a slave. You reach wisdom, you see all the things, and then what do you discover after everything? That food, family, that all the things, then when you reach wisdom, then you look backward at all the sources of pleasure and you see that there's nothing in them, and also in the wisdom itself. So what have you attained after the wisdom that you're looking at all of creation, that you see these things, that you see from one end of the world to the other how everything happens and how it's all empty, and then you remain truly at a dead end. You really reached a wall because there's nowhere to advance toward. If you're smart, that you see what's coming after every act, after every mission, then you don't begin it. You don't. There's nothing you need to do. That's it. What do you need to do? Just finish your life. Especially today. They're talking about wisdom, that you see the world. It's not just a scientist with this little electronic things that they're doing. They're talking about the great philosopher, the great wise one. But I would expect that the wisdom will be something with quality that has no end. There will be no end to the pleasure it will give me. There's a difference between a house. That's the wisdom of Solomon. That's something else. That's the wisdom of Solomon. It's not the regular wisdom. But he's talking about, he's saying, I was also smart like that once upon a time, that I truly acquired the wisdom of the world. I acquired everything. What's the difference between the two wisdoms? That's not the end of Kohelet. It will continue. The next subject, he's talking about deeds, about work, what we call today work. occupation. A person gets a lot of uses a lot of creativity. There's something that attracts me, that is renewed. But the question is, to the extent that I'm being renewed, how much is it really myself, and how much do I have in that support from my environment that appreciates me, that I want to be proud? There's a lot of things. And in creativity, there's truly, how can we put it? In creativity, there's a place where you can be like a mouse in a trap, because each time I feel some type of renewal, another picture and another movie and something else, and it's as if I'm dying while I'm working. That's what usually happens with people who are creating. I'm writing. I'm creating some picture, some movie, some music. Here it's a niche where a person is like a creator. He's creating. He's in renewal. And he's in a feeling of more and more and more. That's a trap. It's a trap. For a few people that get into it, it's truly here it's possible that their entire life, but they don't feel in anything else. They don't feel life in anything else. They screw everything. They can do it in their blood. They're willing to draw in their blood to do some new invention. For them, it's everything. Because in that, they're discovering, revealing all the time. Deficiencies are getting, their deficiencies are getting filling. That is creation that they are in. And then truly, they don't care about anything apart from that. A person that is in creation, searching, he has no happiness, sex, family, money, respect. It's all nothing for him. If he's thinking about that, then he's like others. He's not in creation. Here it is truly a trap, that these people are like some type of appendix of humanity, that they have some trip and they're on it, and they also disappear from humanity. Today all those things are just to make money, succeed, and make business. At the end of this tour that he did, he reached a conclusion, and I hated all my toil that I toil under the sun, and I should leave it to the man who will be after me, and use the word trap, because he's always like a dog with his tail running around his tail, but when he's running around, because of these creations, he feels sometimes pleasure, just like you. You switch work, you switch family, you go here, you go there, but still, it's at another level. But it's also emptiness. The next subject that he's verifying are interpersonal relationships and family relations inside the family. I won't talk about his expressions because they're a bit shocking. I don't want to shock people. At the end of the day, he says, and now I have a question. And at the end he says it's also not there, your happiness. And unfortunately the statistics show that he's correct. Every second, third couple is getting divorced today. But still, I would like us to get into it a minute. The family connections, there's nothing more natural than that. I'm a father, and we see that there's, I'm a father of four, and there's moments when I'm a father, or say when you get married, the moment you get married, or let's say before when you decide, I'm going to marry her, and the day of the marriage, you feel like a king. It's not just for nothing that we do a big ceremony. A person feels like he's flying. Where is he flying to? He always wants happiness. He feels like he's about to touch happiness. You have a child. You're on the edge of life. You're in the highest place. It appears to us this is nature arranges things like this for us, so we'll give continuation to life. So why at the end, in the things that seem the most simple and most natural at the end of the day, like statistics show, and they also prove that it doesn't go anywhere. It's the most natural thing. Why isn't the happiness also there? The general point of nature, of human development in nature through our evolution, is that we will ask this question, why am I living? What am I living for? In that, a person is different from a creature that doesn't ask this question. This is what differentiates us from animals. Not just the question, also its correct implementation. Otherwise, we're animals. That I live, I go to work, I collect money for home, vacation, all those things in life, and there's no beginning and no end. What for? You know what? You're going to the end? We're going to the end. At the end of his journey, he says like this, after he went through all these things. At the end, be afraid of God, keep his commandments, because that's a person. Because a person was just created to carry out the laws of nature. And we need to learn what they are, and we need to carry them out. The laws of nature are simple, what the Torah says. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you reach that, you reach happiness. It's very simple. That's what God says, nature. I created the evil inclination. I created the Torah because the light in it will redeem you to your ideal state. We need to carry out this equation, this one equation, and then you are organized. What's the equation? Love thy neighbor as thyself? Yes. So you're saying, I'll read these things again. He says at the end, we hear everything, fear God and carry out his commandments. And you're saying it's love thy neighbor as thyself because the commandments are called correcting the 613 egoistic desires that we have. What do we need to correct? The 613 desires in a person. What desires? Is it what he's explaining, money and all those things, that whole description? We're going to open it up in a psychological correct manner. Then we'll discover that we have 613 desires. That's what he discovered in this whole journey, that he verified all these things, that all a person's desires, that a person is evil from birth because he wants everything for himself. He saw that there's no implementation of these desires that bring you to happiness. You only reach happiness on the condition that if you find the right attitude to your fellow man in these desires and implement them in a manner of bestowal, and this bestowal is called Hevel, vanity. And only if you focus on Hevel Havalim in a positive, the positive aspect of it, and everything is Hevel Havalim. Only bestowal. What is bestowal? Bestowal that I want to connect with everyone in a good way to fill their desires. And they also want to fill my desires. And then in a mutual manner, like we can feed each other with a spoon. I'll feed you and you feed me. And we can never fill ourselves in this manner. This is what he found at the end of his journey? Yes. That's called Hevel Hevelim. Everything's Hevel in the highest manner, with an exclamation point and not with three points, three dots. So now let's also verify. What did we learn? I'll tell you what I learned from his story. They said he was a wise one because he found the equation. Hang on, so I want to be smarter than him. We have 2 minutes left. What did he do in this journey? Each time he looked at a various subject in life and all the things he described, he says, it appears to me that the happiness is there. He went, invested, looks back and said, it's not there. He went next. I think it's there that I'll find happiness. He went, invested, and said, It's also not there. At the end of the day, he reached what you said now, that I will never be able to fill myself with happiness, but rather happiness is in that, that we're filling one another with happiness. Therefore, love thy neighbor as thyself. That is the key to happiness. And that's what the Torah is talking about. Great. So now I'm asking, let's say we can flow with the scenario. Let's say in another year he won't look back and say it's also not there. No, it won't pass. Why isn't there another chapter in the book? He's giving you advice how to implement it. And the implementation is for each and every person. Not implementation, he himself, he found it that you can only be filled by filling one another. He reached that happiness. Why after a year wasn't that finished as well? Why is the final conclusion, why is it different than all the other conclusions? He also thought it was that, and then a year afterward he discovered it wasn't. Because by beginning to connect with everyone, together you're building around society where we're all integrated into one, and we're all integrated in one another, and it's like an endless society, a circle that is never ending, and it's always being renewed. The general desire in filling one another. And the filling. And then we reach this life, mutual life, where I come out of myself and I feel everyone. It's like I'm separating from my animal part of me, from my living body. And I'm going to spirit that's outside of me. I'm living inside others. And then I feel in that eternal life. In that I begin to feel my life in the spiritual, virtual manner, outside myself. I go out to a completely different dimension. I rise above the feeling of life and death, time. In that I acquire this new psychological situation. That's what we need to reach. That's why it's called Hevel, Hevel Havalim. That's what he reached. Yes. Unfortunately, we only have another minute and a half. We need to implement it. It's exactly what I want to talk about, the implementation. Let's summarize. We started out by wanting to build new life here in Israeli society and the whole world. When you define the horizon direction for everyone is one family. What can we learn about this one family? By looking at the happiness of Kohelet. It's good to be wise after this wise person that, go after this wise one that checked everything. We already passed in all our history, we've already gone through what he went through in his story, and we need to understand that we're in the last phase, that after all our dealings in this world, we're only bringing ourselves to a collapse, to the general bankruptcy. And then we only have one thing left, to exist, to carry out the general law of nature, love thy neighbor as thyself. If we do that, if we listen to God and we carry out His commandments, but what does it mean? We just need to understand what it means to hear God and carry out His commandments, that it's all to reach love, the final commandment. Love thy neighbor as thyself is the great law of the Torah, that the entire Torah altogether brings you to love. And then the Torah is to correct the evil inclination between us. That we were born like that, we need to correct it to a good inclination, to love. If we do these acts, and these are acts in a group through the integral education, if we do it, we'll reach the implementation and we have eternity in front of us. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. On this journey, we have eternity ahead of us. Until next time, all the best, and so long.